Harper Audio presents Otherworld Chronicles, The Invisible Tower, by Nils Johnson Shelton. Performed by Patrick Lawler. Prologue. Long ago, an old man, a wizard in fact, was imprisoned in an invisible tower. It was built by strong magic above a snaking brown river and rolling green hills, and it shut the world away from the wizard. From this tower he could see nothing but the interior walls of his prison. For many years he was so angry that he could do nothing but seethe at his absent, far-off jailers. But then, after much time, his anger flagged, and he realized that while he was unable to go out into the world, he could will parts of the world to come to him. And so he summoned men, women, and children, beasts, insects, and plants, stone, soil, and sand. For nearly 1,000 years, all of these suffered as he attempted to extract from them a means to escape, which was pointless. Escape was impossible. But then he began to hear of a people landing in great sailed wooden ships on faraway shores. These newcomers were outcasts and vagabonds and ministers from lands called England and France and Nederland, among others. The world that he had once inhabited was returning, and a plan took root in the wizard's mind. It would require dedication, cunning, and a lot of luck, but if it worked, it would provide him with his freedom. Once free, his gray ancient eyes would behold the world again. Once free, his great power would be reborn. Once free, he would set right all that had gone wrong so long, long ago. 1. In which we hear of the Dragon Slayer's dumb luck. Arthur Arty Kingfisher, 12, rail thin and not nearly tan enough for a kid in late July, had just finished slaying Calidirth, a female dragon with sharpened rubies for teeth and curved golden spikes for horns. One of the horns lay shattered on the ground like a splintered broom handle. Arty thought it was a pretty clever weak spot. Seriously, everyone in the other world knew that dragon horns were always best avoided. The beast lay at Arty's feet, orange blood draining from her broken horn. Her cave felt suddenly empty, which was remarkable considering it contained a dead 10-ton dragon, 3 huge black dragon eggs, and a trove of sparkling treasure that would hardly fit in Artie's empty shoulder bags. He had a lot of work to do. Artie fell to the ground and examined his double-edged axe, which was named Quan, for battle damage. It was a little nicked, but nothing that couldn't be fixed by the town's smithy. He let out a long breath. He felt satisfied. And totally pooped. There wouldn't be any new quests for a while. He closed his eyes and took stock of himself. He was all in one piece and sweating a little, even though the air around him was very cool. The only sounds were his breath, the small kerplunks of dripping water, and the crackling torchlight. After the excitement of battle, he suddenly felt very alone. But then his neck tingled familiarly, like it was being tickled with a handful of feathers. Artie always knew when his sister got within a dozen or so feet of him, and at that moment Kay was creeping into their subterranean cave, trying to get Artie. An image of her gelled in Artie's mind. Her long red hair was pulled back in a ponytail, and she was wearing cargo pants and that blue t-shirt with a garden gnome doing karate on it. He could see, without looking at all, that she thought she had a real chance at finally scaring him. This was predictable. Artie knew that she knew that he knew that she'd be trying to frighten the cookies out of him. They'd spent the better part of their childhood playing this game, and it had yet to work. They always knew.
"Ha! Gotcha!"
Kay blurted as she pushed him hard but playfully in the back, knocking the 3D virtual reality goggles off his face. Artie gasped, and Kay was shocked to see that Artie was sweating. She asked, "Wait, did I really just get you?" He wiped his forehead.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?